Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is a show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. No set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book. I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Joining me again today is Juliana, my girlfriend. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about not an ebook, not an audiobook, not a movie, nothing that I've ever really talked about before on the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. I'm going to talk about a comic book. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I read it and I mentioned it on, I read two volumes of it, and I mentioned it on Goodreads, and a few people on there were like, hey, are you going to review this on the SFBRP? And I said, yeah, maybe, if Juliana reads it and enjoys it and has anything to talk about. So what we're going to review is a comic book, graphic novel. The thing is, I would know so little about this kind of stuff that I'm not even sure if you'd call this a comic book or a graphic novel. Oh, and it says here on Wikipedia, comic book series. I guess once it's all collected into different volumes, maybe then it becomes a graphic novel. I don't even know which way around it goes. Anyway, it's by Brian K. Vaughan, illustrated by Fiona Staples, and it's called Saga. And we read volumes 1 and 2, which has been collected over the past year, I guess, or something like that. I get a few more episodes into it, and I'm not really sure how much I've got to say about this because my comic book reading history isn't very much. There's not a lot of depth to it. Anyway, you start off, Juliana. What's your comic book experience or graphic novel experience?
I have quite a bigger experience than you have.
Yeah,
I'm quite sure about that.
Yeah.
So I started when I was quite young. I got all these Mickey Mouse magazines, and for a while, my parents gave me a present for my birthday or something, a subscription to Donald Duck Pocket Books.
Yeah,
and
or in German they're called
Lustiges Taschenbuch.
Yeah,
which means so that every like I don't know what the what the how they get published, but like let's say monthly. Yeah, okay. So yeah, every month I get one of these books and then I stack them in my bookshelf, and because I had a subscription they just came regularly, and at some point I have like this big picture because they have this slice of picture on their back, and when you put them together there's an overall picture of all the characters in it and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of them.
Yeah,
I guess like 200 or something.
Wow, that's
a
lot.
It was a big collection.
Yeah.
When I was older, then we decided to give it to a library for free because...
Why not? Yeah.
And there's another one.
You're looking for another series that you subscribe to.
Yeah. In Germany, that was quite famous as well.
What are you looking for now on Wikipedia? Looking through Mosaic. What's Mosaic? Yeah.
That is a collection, or this is a series as well. It has like three characters in it.
ABC.
Yeah, they're called Digger Ducks and Abrafaxa. So these are like three little guys, a bit like maybe.
Was this an East German comic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, East Germany had quite a cultural life, which also included maybe comics. And it was quite famous. And I had several of these little magazines. And so I had like some of the first ones as well.
Yeah.
And they are quite sweet, and they have these three little guys, and they adventures, and they're still going.
Yeah.
So it is something. Going.
But for you, I'm saying the theme here is for you, comic book reading was very much a childhood activity.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, and then maybe in my youth, I read some of the help me out, some of the Japanese.
What, the anime?
The manga. I read several mangas because they're sweet. And as a young girl, you like reading stuff about romantic stories. I mean, not the ones that are like the total sexes thing, like the ones that are not boobs and stuff.
Yeah, the ones that are actually for teenage girls rather than starring teenage girls.
Exactly. And so I have, I wouldn't say I'm like, totally into it, but I have
when you're younger they do. Well, for me, my comic book reading is totally well, in some ways it's similar. When I was a kid, it was always the Beano and Dandy, which are like they were Dennis the Menace and Dan Dare. No, Dan Dare was something, a Desperate Dan, you know, these other ones, and you know, like comic books for kids with war stories and all these different kind of stuff, you know. But by the time I got to about 11 years old or something, that was like, it wasn't funny anymore. But then I got more into the French and was it Belgium as well, with Asterix and Tintin. So from the ages of about 10 to 13 or something, I read every Asterix comic and thoroughly enjoyed them. And even I think last year or something, I reread one of them, Asterix in Britain, and it's really funny. There's loads more stuff in there that of course I didn't get at all when I was a kid.
No, you
don't. And so many puns and all of the names are hilarious, and I got like I always got like half of the names like when I was younger, and I thought, oh, the fishmonger is unhygienic. That's really clever. But Getafix, like it was only when I was like, you know, like after reading it for like 5 years, and I was like, oh, Getafix. Oh, he needs a fix. He's a drug dealer. Oh, someone needs to Getafix, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure that in Germany they have similar punning names.
Yes.
Anyway, some really great series. Tintin as well, I really enjoyed, but never really branched out up after that, because those were, like, Tintin and Asterix were the two comic books that were in any libraries, and apart from that, there just wasn't. So after Tintin and Asterix, there wasn't anything else that made me do it. And I you know, I've read some, like, superhero things. I never got into it. Never saw the appeal of anything superhero-ish.
No, I never read any, like, Marvel or like, yeah, the big American superhero comics.
Yeah.
I never really got into that.
And anyway, so after years of not being bothered, and people go, oh, you should really read The Watchmen. And I've always opened up, like, the first page of The Watchmen and seen this. And I've sort of seen that thing, like, there's a famous thing where there's this little smiley face with a bit of blood on it or something like that. And it zooms down. And it just takes so long. I was like, oh, and I'm just looking at this going, this is super annoying to have something not just this, like, I don't know what it is that I've, every time I've ever tried to read a comic or look at a comic, like I was a graphic novel kind of thing, it's just annoyed me because always the pictures have got in the way of the story.
Yeah.
Like, or if the stories and characters are, I get distracted by the art, and I've never really found, you know, found a way to do it. And a few years ago when I was over in Finland talking to Timo, who, you've not met Timo, no. And anyway, Finland, loads of Donald Duck cartoons there. I think Donald Duck is the main cultural figure of Finland. No, I'm not kidding. Anyway, so I was there, and he was like, and I said, well, so if you show me any comic book that you would, or any graphic novel that you would say, like, so what would you give me? And he showed me this one, and I opened it up, and I was like, oh, the art of this is really good, but you know, I found it so difficult to get in. So recently, my all of my comic reading is like 99.999% webcomics, and I really enjoy webcomics because I don't get distracted, because they normally come in like four panels or three panels or something.
Really,
and it doesn't matter that there's like a overarching story, and I binge through webcomics and read, you know, I'll sit down and about an hour and a half later we'll come out reading like a few hundred comics in a row and get full stories and really enjoy it that way. But that's the style that I really enjoy, that it's on a screen. I can't be distracted by what's further back, and I can't be distracted by what, and each little section is like in a little, it's like a little chapter, if you will. Like, so you read it, at the end there'll be a gag or there'll be a fun thing, and you know, I can, you know, just gone through so many
because
of these.
Because they're so short, they have to really, like, put it together, like, they have to really put all the picture in these three panels, and they have to put all the story into these three panels and have a pun at the end. So it's fun.
Maybe not a pun, but you know,
something to...
I think more to the point is that there are a few comics like what is it Dresden Kodak or something like Dresden Kodak, which has fantastic art, like really good art, and the stories are really interesting. But I find that super annoying that, like, this new storyline is Dark Science, is 28. I've not managed to keep up with it because it takes so long. Like, each panel is, like, really complex. It's not difficult to read, but it's really complex to go through it, and there's words and the stories and different characters coming in and out. But when I just went back and read through an entire, like, series, like, an entire story from beginning to end, again, I really enjoyed it, but there's a bit too much in each serial. Whereas a webcomic, when it's, instead of having, like, 18 panels or whatever they do in the Dresden Kodak, when it's, like, three panels, it's enough for me to look at it. And also, often, the artist can't put a lot of work into the art.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is something which is a benefit to webcomics over other comics, is that it's not, I mean, of course, these main comics are spend ages and ages like doing this kind of thing, but like I much prefer it when there's a small amount of time spent on the art and a small amount of time spent on the writing. And, you know, so it really focuses it down onto what's the most important thing in this thing. Okay. Yes.
I would like to say that since you pointed out the comic strip, strip search. Since then, I'm also into web comics, and I just opened the cloud tabs on my Safari, and it's on my iPad. I have Fuzzy Comics open, Sandra and Wu, and Cam. We don't want ya.
Yeah.
So
you realize that what you're reading on your what you most read on Safari on your iPad is web comics and comics from the strip search with the Penny Arcade strip search
and
TV program.
Since I watched that, I really got into that because it's so fun to have these short little things, and then you can go back and read the story from the beginning and wait till more comes out and all this.
Yeah.
And it's just really fun and. Yeah, by watching this strip search, I think probably a lot of Goodreads people also watched it. Maybe, I don't know.
What do you mean Goodreads people? You mean, listeners to the SFBRP or something like that? Maybe. Anyway, strip search was from the Penny Arcade guys, and they did a reality TV show thing about finding webcomics. And yes, I mean, I was already into webcomics. I already in my RSS feed, there's quite a few that come through every day, quite a few that come through like twice a week or three times a week or something like that. But what I often like I say, it comes back to what I really enjoy about web comics is that often they use kind of like a clip art thing, or they just use the same art every day. There's this one called Dinosaur Comics, which is hilarious because it's the same six panels with the same dinosaurs doing the same thing, standing in exactly the same position with the same expressions on their face, with the same people that they're stepping on. And the only thing that changes is the dialogue each time. And it's hilarious. Yeah, it really is good. And like XKCD, where it's just stick figures. Or a lot of the time it's just stick figures. Or The Order of the Stick, where it's kind of, you know, stick figures like. Or what's the other one? Basic Instructions, where it's like, you know, like I say, clip art. It's like just
the
same.
One with the chickens there.
Yeah, the chickens. It's just very, I mean, that's not very character. But yeah, that's more gag-based than compared to some of these others. But like I say, not to be distracted by good art. However, I realized on all my times of trying to read comic books, like real comic books, I'll put it this way, superhero books or these other kind of sci-fi kind of books, I realized that I'm not being annoyed by the complicated art. I'm being annoyed by art, which I just don't like aesthetically. I don't really find that, you know, like so much of it's about like the physiology of the superheroes. It's about like the exact shapes or the muscles or the poses that they're in. And it's never lifelike enough for me to like be divorced from what's going on. It's never unlifelike enough. It's never like, you know, people say about, you know, with Tintin, the reason why Tintin doesn't have a complicated face is because you can identify with him. But like the more realistic thing is like the Uncanny Valley. What I'm trying to say is you have to be either one side of the Uncanny Valley, which is photography, where it's not uncanny.
Yeah.
Or you've got to be far enough away that you're really thinking, okay, this is a cartoon. And so many of the, you know, the comic book art, it always reminds me of like, was it Pre-Raphaelite art? Did you know that kind of thing where it's all about?
They have
like,
no, they are flat.
Well, it's not so much that they're flat, but it's I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It's like, why does everyone look like, you know, a Greek statue? You know, why is that kind of form always? And I can just can't. I don't know what it is. It always gets through. So after all of this,
after you talk like quite a lot, before you said, oh, you don't have to say a lot about comics.
No, because I didn't realize. But I think this is good actually, because it really does. I think it really explains why I don't read a lot of comics. But I thought, well, when I get myself an iPad of my own, which is a Retina, I pretty much said like a year ago when the iPad Mini came out, I was like, as soon as the iPad Mini comes out with a Retina screen, I'm going to get one of them. And a year later, one did. So now I have my very own iPad Mini with Retina screen. So I thought, well, I'll check out what's on Comixology at the moment. And I was looking through and there's like free titles. And I was like, I'll check out the free titles. And I saw Saga and I was like, aha, I have heard about Saga. I've also heard good things about Saga. It's not that I've also heard bad things, but you know, it's known to be a good comic, and I thought I'd check it out. And then it happened to coincide with what do you call it, the Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and they're like, hey, Comixology sale, you can get Saga Volumes 1 and 2 for half price. And I was like, oh, that's great. So I did, and read through them. You know, I read, after reading the first issue.
That was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was free. And then I read back through the first issue again, and then all the way through Volume 2. No, all the way to the end of Volume 1, sorry. And then went back through and read it all again, because it doesn't take that long to get through it. But yeah. I really enjoyed going back over it and kind of picking out little character moments and art details and stuff and doing it again. And then I said to Juliana, hey, you should also download the first issue. See if you like it. Otherwise, then we'll talk about it. And then I've also read the season. I was going to say season 2, but I'm getting too confused with the American TV series. And then Volume 2, and that's it. I've only got up to the end of issue 12, and you got to the end. You finished reading it today as well.
Yeah, no, last night.
So, and what did you think of Saga then?
Based on
the only other things that you've been reading is Donald Duck magazines
and manga.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. Based on several things. First of all. I really like the story of these two guys. They're a little bit like Romeo and Juliet, like, you know.
Oh, from definitely Starcraft lovers. Starcraft lovers. Yeah.
Two sides from the war, and all the others fight against each other, and they meet and fall in love. And
yeah, I really like in the. It was actually only in Volume 2. I can't remember which issue, but then in a few issues in a row, it starts going back, and it's like, and how they met for the first time, and then how they got together for the first time. And then there's a really great scene. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but the one where they're having sex, and it's so funny where it was like, wait, you didn't come inside me, did you? And he's like, yeah, but you told me to. And she's like, no, I was saying that. I was thinking with my cunt. I wasn't thinking with my, you know, brain and stuff. It's like, your exact words were, jizz up inside me right now, you hot love rod, or whatever it was, and stuff like that. So a little bit different from your Donald Duck.
A little bit different. I would call it an adult comic, right?
Yeah, of course.
What I really like, first of all, I also like the art. There's a really good example where I was so impressed was in the second volume, at the beginning, when it is about the backstory of Marcus.
Yeah.
And you have these battle scenes. I have literally never seen a comic or graphic novel design like this before. It looked as it was 3D.
Well, this one here.
Yeah. It's amazing. Nice.
I understand what you mean.
It's amazing. And I really stared at it for several minutes to find out, holy shit, it's not 3D. Mm. But it looks 3D. It's so cool. Especially compared to the normal style, which is very, like, especially on the iPad. It's super clear. And the other ones, that's like slightly blurry.
Yeah,
it comes out every second.
It's a photo. It's kind of a Photoshop filter motion blur thing. But
it's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's really good.
There are some really good effects like that. This is the art. This is what I want to talk about in this book as well. I'm not into comic book art, but this is definitely an art style which is it's all digitally drawn digitally, which most I would.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, I'd say most comics now are drawn completely digitally. Maybe some are, you know, penciled and inked and stuff, and then, you know, but most color. Again, I'm talking so far outside of my my actual knowledge of comic production, but this feels very much like, okay, this is designed from the ground up to be read on an iPad or on a Retina screen. Let me put it that way, because the images. I mean, I don't even how, like, if that was printed, like that image that you showed, mentioned there in the beginning of issue 7, like, if that was printed, would it even look like that? I don't know. I'm not even sure how it would work, but yes, it definitely feels, like all of these images are amazing. The art by Fiona Staples is...
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
Also, when I read it, I watched several of the Hayao Miyazaki anime...
The movies, like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle and things.
And I really enjoy watching these, apart from loads of things in it, the music and the stories. It's just really fantastic.
What do you mean apart from that? You mean including all of that?
No, I mean the comic novel doesn't have music.
Oh,
so I
right.
can't
I see what
compare
you mean.
The music.
Okay.
I was several times I was reminded of the art or of the idea of like for example in when the Hell character goes to the Sextillion when he went to Sextillion, that like sex planet thing.
Yeah.
Although it does not fit at all with the story where
In Spirited Away, you're
talking
about, yeah.
Away, when Chihiro comes into that, she crosses that bridge or something, and then she's in that town, and at certain points you see this long stretch of a street where you have at the sides you have different shops. Which also comes in that when he goes there and when he arrives
different
there
things walks. For sale in the shop, I think.
Totally different.
Yeah.
But like the style of the where he meets and then he meets the guy there with a flat head and like all these.
Yeah, the guy with the big with the wide mouth. Yeah, that's very kind of Miyazaki.
Exactly.
I thought, yeah, I think the whole look of it, not so much the look, but just the totally whimsical nature of it. It's like, okay, there's a character turn up. Are they going to look like a human? Maybe. And it's like, I'm going to call my agent, and the agent just looks like a seahorse. And there's no reason for the agent to look like a seahorse, but then again, it's just like, why not?
Why not?
Like, if you can have anything on the page, why would you just draw all characters as muscle-bound, like, superhero kind of style? Why would you go for photorealism? Why wouldn't you just go, we need a character. What's the character going to look like? I don't know. Just make it awesome. You just make it awesome. Some characters don't have heads. Some characters have more than one head. Some characters have wings. Some characters have horns. You know, some characters have TVs for heads. You know, the Robot Kingdom. You know, the Prince of the Robot Kingdom has got a TV for a head. Why? No reason. No reason given at all. I'm wondering, like, how much of that was, you know, the author, Brian K. Vaughan, who was saying, this character, it looks like a crocodile.
Yeah.
Like, why did he look like a crocodile? Why shouldn't he look like a crocodile? And that's the kind of thing that I find, you know, kind of Miyazaki-like, is where you just go, and this character looks like this. Why? Why not? You know,
yeah.
why should the characters be based on previous storytelling things? It feels, and also the other thing, it feels very Star Wars-y, like, where you just go,
definitely.
Okay, there's an alien, what does the alien look like? The alien looks like anything that the alien makeup department think the alien should look like. Go! Okay, great. And it can work out really well. The other thing which I really enjoy, which is very Star Wars-y, is that there's kind of magic, there's the Force. I mean, it's not referred to as the Force, but there's two sides in the battle of good versus good, because we're never really told, which side is the good side and which side is the bad side.
Blue kind of appearing Force and the orange kind of appearing Force, and then they meet
it's more blue. The blue Force is magic and the orange is like technology.
Oh,
so
okay.
it's like the in Star Wars, you've got like, you know, Han Solo, which is the I'd rather have a blaster than all your, you know, your magical whimsical stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one side with the spaceships and the lasers and blasters, and on the other side is the Force, which is the kind of, you know, there's two different sides there. And again, I just want to say, what I really liked is that in this there is a battle going on, but it's not about the battle going on. So there's not like, oh, we're the good guys and we're the bad guys, or this is the good side and this is the bad side. That's never discussed. It's just like, there are two sides.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this other story, you know.
And also, we like, I really like the language. I know it's weird to say, but it feels so lively. It feels like these are people who live today.
Yeah.
And talk with each other. It's not like like artificial language or something. It's very, very straight, very how we talk. I mean, not I don't talk like that, but English people do talk like that.
Yeah.
And there's one big issue that I had with that book.
What's that?
Was I know it is like kind of still an introduction in the story, because we have a me character that is telling its own story. You have this character telling its own story, then they're telling the story.
Well, it's the baby, so yeah, it's the baby is
it's
doing.
It's the baby. It's Hazel, obviously.
Yeah.
She's telling us.
Hope.
What?
Okay. Hope. No.
Hope. She's telling us the story of how she was born and stuff.
Yeah.
Then there's side stories which show the freelancer bits and the computer robot people,
robot prince,
and then you have not really the future, but you have the past, and the middle past, and then sometimes dream sequences.
So what's the problem with that?
What I've tried to point out here is that there are loads of side and sub stories going on at the same time, and
but it's all about Hazel.
Yeah, but no, it is not. And that's the point. Sometimes it's about weird back through the nose kind of.
But it's all about people trying to find Hazel. There's nothing that isn't that.
Of course. But sometimes it's just a bit too confusing. Sometimes you have dream sequences where you don't see that in dream sequences.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have a switch to the past. And then first you start reading it and you think, well, what? No. They already left this place. How can they be back there? And then you realize, it's another switch to the past.
Yeah. I really like that. It just throws you in and you're like, oh, what's happening now? So this did happen. Oh, that didn't. No, I think that's what you can do with, like, comics, which is sequential art, which you can't even do with a novel, because, like, when you watch, you can read this book, you can, like, bring up a page in the comic, and then you can read it, go, oh, not really sure, but then you can very easily go flick back one page, flick back two page, and then you kind of reframe that in your brain and then go flick forward, flick, flick. And you can't even do that so much. Certainly you can't do it in an audiobook, like not being able to flick back a few pages, not.
Yeah.
You can't really do it in a movie. You can't be like, oh, just rewind back a bit. Oh, I can't really see. The whole idea of having a comic book with sequential art is that you look down the page, and then by the time you get to the bottom of the page, you realize, oh, the bottom of the page has given me more information about that picture at the top of the page. So then you go back up and you see a new detail in there. And that's why I wanted to read through twice. You know, I wanted to make sure I read through twice, because, like you say, it's based on, like, the reading experience of going from one panel to the next panel down the page, or if you're going across the page, or, you know, when you flick over a page, like, just the way the panels are laid out changes the way it's done. And often you'll get these, it'll suddenly go, oh, and now you suddenly see a full page like this one, which
nice.
Is... Yeah, I mean, I might as well show you the big giant with the scrotum, the dangly scrotum. Like, when you see that, it has more or less impact, you know, like...
Yeah, of course.
And I'm just saying that the part of the read... That is part of the reading experience.
But still, that does not really help at some points with the confusing switching back and forth in the story.
But
that's just all I'm saying.
But just flick it back.
But sometimes it was a bit too confusing. Also, I wanted to mention that... What's up?
No, I just noticed that you typed Saga into Goodreads.com.
Yeah, I just thought...
And it's funny. And the top book is Twilight. The next one is Eclipse, because it comes out with the Twilight Saga. The next one is Ender's Game, Ender's Saga. The next one is Hashit, Brian Saga. Saga doesn't actually come up at all. There's the Aiden Saga, Fallen Saga.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say as well, from my reading experience when I was a kid, what I did... When I got the Donald Duck books, I flicked through and read the story.
Yeah.
And, of course, got the images. But then I did a second read where I just intensively watched. No, I didn't lick my iPad. No. I went through every panel and looked at the pictures, like in every details and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, in Donald Duck books, you don't have as much detail as you have in this book, which is awesome, because when I think that I read it a second time through, I get so much more little details out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to that again.
For example, just in this picture...
Why do I have to do this one?
No, because what I'm saying is that when you read it through the second time, you realize that you're standing... Like, this is a picture of a big giant holding a bone and showing off his dirty scrotum, which is absolutely disgusting. But then when you look at it, you go, oh, right, he's in a ruined building. But then you look at the clouds, and then you realize, are they clouds? Or are they, like, layers of broken egg? You know, it's like, because they're on a weird planet, and then if you look at the planet...
Don't give it away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but they're on this planet, and it takes them a while to go there. But then when you actually look at that planet from the outside, you realise, oh, what am I actually looking at here? There's more going on. Of course, now I can't find it. I'm flicking...
Then this is exactly what I mean.
Yeah, now
you're trying to... Now you flick through, like... Four different stories.
Yeah, then there's only four different bits of backstory, plus some other side story over there, plus a flashback, which isn't a flashback, it's a dream sequence, and then I'm still trying to find where they actually get, yeah, and when, the, oh no, and that's another flashback, yeah.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, it
that
can.
That was a bit, that makes it...
But now do you see what I'm trying to point at? That look, once I actually finally get to it, you realise, oh, they weren't clouds, they were bits of floating rock. Anyway, yeah, what you were saying about the, what you were saying about the language is I really enjoyed. I just made a few notes here as well. Like in the beginning, there's this guy with a phone. He's like going, "Oh, my app is updated," and then I lost the signal. And then there's like on in the prison, there's a big sign saying "No photography." And I'm thinking, well, in this world, do people have apps on their iPhones and do they have cameras? We're living in a magic world, so why do people have apps and cameras and stuff? And then there's another cool thing where there's the baby is born with wings and they're like, oh, and then we'll bleed the wings, and they're like, oh, you can't bleed the wings, that's terrible, that's, you know, you can't do that, you know, you just for some bullshit religious reason. And then someone, it's not, wing bleeding isn't religious, it's cultural. And you know, like, oh wow, this is like a, you know, some kind of circumcision thing, but it's just dropped in there and it's not dwelt on anymore. It's just like, yes, in this world, they have the same level of stuff going on and considerations that's going on as other ones. And just to another two things that I made notes of. One is that the Will, the freelancers, the bounty hunters, all their names, the is the title or the is the first name. You got the Will and the Stork. And it's like, what's your name? Is it Mr. No, how are you doing, Mr. Will? No, not Mr. Will. The
Will.
It's the, actually. Yeah. The Will.
Yeah.
And I really love the Will, who is a bounty hunter without a very strong will, which is quite funny. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is the different languages. What I always loved about at the Asterix comics is that the different languages that they spoke were signified by different typography and different font choices. Like the Germans, the Gothics or the Visigoths would always talk in like, you know, the Germanic script. And the different Vikings and the people, they would have different slashes through the, you know, they would have like, what, some of them would have the umlauts over different letters slashes through the O and so. And at one point I remember there's Asterix is trying to, they're trying to translate something or have a conversation, and they say something, and literally one of the characters goes, oh, I'm always getting mixed up. Maybe I should talk with the umlauts over the O's instead of the E's and the slashes through the D's instead of the V's. Then they're like, oh, okay, let's give that a go. Then they try that. It's like, oh, no. So maybe, and it's like there's like this self-awareness.
Of that problem.
Of the problem of people talking in a different language. And I found the same thing in this as well, when they're talking, like, you don't actually understand the language.
Not but, really.
But they even says at one point where they're just like, ah, oh, I'm not talking blue. You know, I don't talk blue very well. And you realize, oh, that all of that stuff over the magic people is in a blue font, a blue italics font, rather than the normal lettering. And you know, and the ghost girl who's super cute is the she talks in pink. And yeah, there's just a few of those things, and I really like that they kind of, the characters seem to be aware that they're in a comic in a way. Like I'll put it this way, Hazel, who is the one who is narrating it, she seems to be like, okay, I'm catching up with the story. It's very self-aware, and it's super super ironic, and like it's like self-aware and ironic and really cool with it. And I think that's why I really enjoy it, that it's like a comic book which knows it's a comic book in a way which is I've not seen before. And in that way, I actually don't mind that the art is sometimes a bit like, I mean, in, like just this panel here, like the proportions of the different people here are a bit weird, you know, but like it's very quirky. The art is very good, but it's like they never seem to let the art get in the way of the storytelling, if you know what I mean. Everyone, or it's always like, okay, what's the most important thing here? And like the characters in the foreground will be important, and the rest of it can be like out of focus in the background. I don't know. It's just it seems to be like even the art is self-knowing that it's in a comic book.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very difficult to explain, but I think there is something there. I'm not sure. But then you get these, I guess that's from the front cover. You know, some of these
paintings
are amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the last point that I wanted to say, I mentioned that last night as well, and you said That would be a good idea. I think if the Ghibli Studios, which is the Miyazaki studios, would get this into their hands and would make a movie, I definitely would watch it.
Yeah, I think I would watch it. Only if it was animated, though. I think only if it was like a Studio Ghibli Miyazaki style movie, because you really need that kind of off the wallness. Yeah, and I think in I think if it was a live action thing with special effects,
that wouldn't work.
I don't think it would work either, because you really need it to be. You really need the real characters, like the human characters, to be as real or not real as the animal characters or the other characters. Like there's the lion cat. The lion cat is a cat and it acts like a cat. And there's a few other things like monsters which look like monsters and act like monsters.
You would have to do that with CGI, and then it wouldn't really fit with the humans, and they would not be CGI, and like the whole thing wouldn't work. But if you would have like a Miyazaki Studio Ghibli kind of thing, I think that would work super well, and I really would watch it. And I also am strongly looking forward for them to continue the series, because
it's continued. We can read it, but let's wait until the next collected volume comes out and get it. We can buy it issue by issue, but I think we should just wait until it's completed. I haven't really talked so much about the story because it's, you know, people are going through. Well, it's not that much spoiler, but we don't know what the end of the story is yet. We know it's about the childhood of a baby who doesn't talk but is kind of narrating their story later on, and you know, where their parents living, like, kind of escaping throughout a war zone, like, and the war zone is the whole galaxy. I mean, I didn't really explain that, but there's two sides in the war, but they don't want to fight on their own planet and moon anymore because it was getting too messed up, so they outsource war across the galaxy, and they kind of pay other people to fight for them, or just to have battlegrounds. Anyway, it's a weird idea that anywhere in the galaxy there's sort of like, you know, sanctioned war zones and unsanctioned war zones. But on this first reading of volumes 1 and 2, I don't really have a lot to say about that. I really like the setup. I really like the fantasy world. It's a bit, I said it's a bit like Firefly in a way, that there's like, oh, and we go to this planet and go over to this planet, and this planet's more, you know, broken down, and this one's like a Wild West planet, and this one's a battle planet, and over here you got your pleasure planet. It feels, you know, that kind of space opera-y thing, but with levels of fantasy which go beyond most science fiction things that I've read.
It's good. I really enjoyed it. So, and I'm looking forward to read it again.
Yes,
if you give it to me.
Yes, I'll. Yeah, you can sign. I'm sure you can sign in with my Comixology things and just get it on your iPad as well. I'm sure we'll be able to do it that way. Although you don't have the Retina screen on your iPad too.
No.
Anyway, so not much else to say.
It's a good length for a comic podcast in between.
Yeah, I mean, I said, we'll only take 20 minutes, but we talked about comics and web comics and other comic stuff. I don't really have much else to say about this. I'm not even sure I want to give it a rating. You know, I gave it on Goodreads, I gave it 5 stars just because I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to. And now everyone's going to go, if you like that, you'll like this comic by this guy, or you like this duo, and you should read this stuff. I think I'll just go back and read some classics. Maybe I'll try out Watchmen. And there's a movie about that one.
Okay.
Apparently, it's not a very good
I'm
movie.
I'm passing.
You're not gonna
one.
No. But maybe I'll try it out. But I've enjoyed talking about this one. Not really talk so much about the science fictiony stuff in there. There's a really cool whip. Which I really like the whip. But otherwise, there's not. I don't know. It's difficult to say because everything is just magical.
We can just leave it there. Why shouldn't we just?
Well, because normally I talk about why it's science fiction. I don't think I need to explain why this is science fiction, because there's spaceships and stuff.
This is definitely
science fiction. It is science fiction, even though it's layers of magic and fantasy as well. But I really like this section. Like I said, there's just a whole long conversation in blue.
Yeah.
And the only word I know is ouch, and I don't understand any other ones. But the whole thing is there. What should we give that? I'll give this 5 stars. No, I'm not gonna give it 5 stars because it's not.
I'll give it 4.
The thing is, I don't even really want to rate it because it's not really, because I haven't finished it, you know. It's difficult to give it a higher rating.
It's an open ending thing.
So let me put it this way. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Highly recommended from someone who has got, like I say, no history
or little history.
Yeah, I have very little history about comic books, you know, of all the reading I've done, I've got thousands of, maybe not thousands, hundreds and hundreds of science fiction novels read. Maybe over time I've read probably approaching 1,000 science fiction and fantasy novels read in my lifetime. I don't even know how I'd calculate that. No, that doesn't sound quite right. Anyway, lots and lots of that. Watch lots of movies, know lots about movies, and can do that. Comic books, I have no way to really rate this, and I can't even rate it on the story because it hasn't finished yet. So I can't. I'm going to give this no rating. Yeah, that's it. So next up, we're going to finish up Cloud Atlas and watch the movie Cloud Atlas. Maybe we'll do it this week. Maybe it'll be when I get back from my next trip.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably going to be a bit busy. Otherwise, I got to a point in Cloud Atlas where I wasn't really enjoying it and kept falling asleep, but then I pushed through and now I'm really enjoying it again.
Yeah.
And the bit that I wasn't enjoying became one of my favourite parts of the book because it's the middle of the book and it's kind
really?
Of important. Yeah, it's the middle. It's suddenly once you work out what the structure of the book is, you're like, oh, right, this is really important, and it's suddenly much more enjoyable.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about that next time out or whenever we do our two-person podcast. Otherwise, I've got other books that I can get around to reading. I've got a new iPad, which means I'll be reading more iBooks.
E-books.
More e-books on iBooks and Kindle a little bit more easily than on my phone. Otherwise, that's it. You can follow me on goodreads.com. And also, Juliana, you can become her friend and my friend on Goodreads. And we can see what you also think about Saga. Maybe we should look at it. Oh, I can't be bothered now. Anyway, I was going to look at what my friends think about Saga, but... other people have already messaged me and saying, hey, you should review it. I think, hopefully you enjoy the review. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burge. You can check out my blog, lukeburge.com/blog. And is that it? Is that all I normally talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. audibletrial.com/SFBIP. Yeah, and if you email me, luke@juggler.net, I reply to every email. If you've got a book that you want me to read, is it
or
by
a comic
you?
Book.
Is it by you? Don't tell me about it. Is it promoted by you? Don't tell me. Is it published by you? Don't tell me about it. If it's just you recommending a book that you read that you think I'd like, recommend it. Send me an email, luke@juggler.net, or recommend it to me via goodreads.com. We'll get back to the culture reading series. Next up is Use of Weapons.
Use of Weapons.
Which we already have. I have
read.
Yes. I'm going to get that as an audiobook, hopefully, and check that out. Anyway, that's it for me. Say goodbye, Juliana.
Goodbye.
Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.